The KwaZulu-Natal Public Works and Infrastructure Department has been hard at work the past few months to try and turn around the dysfunction there. We get an update from MEC Martin Meyer. Welcome, Martin.
Good morning. Thank you from a very warm Durban.
What have been your biggest challenges thus far?
I think the three challenges that I would focus on, firstly, is how deep the rot was regarding corruption within the department and maladministration. And even though it was a small group of officials, they were well embedded, and we had to take some very strong action regarding those officials and clearing out that rot within the department. Secondly, is just the bad use of the budget. We don't have a large budget, one of the smallest budgets within the province, but the money was really wasted. Money was spent on the wrong things. There was not good controls on the way the money was spent. That means that the little we got just wasn't used well, so we had to focus on that. And then the third thing is that I inherited a department that was fully paper-based. It is a department that still follows methods used in the 90s to manage the department. So we are really focused on dragging this department into the 21st century and digitalizing the department and making sure that we are more efficient in the way we deliver services to the people of KwaZulu-Natal.
What have you achieved in the eradication of corruption?
So one of the things that I focus on when I came into office is that I asked for all the forensic reports that was done by the Premier's office into the department. And I was shocked that after 20 forensic reports going back, some of them 5, 6, 7 years, not one of them were actually implemented. So none of the recommendations in the report were implemented. So I took an executive decision that those reports need to be implemented. We took that stance. The disciplinaries against some officials were done. Some of the recommendations were done. Like, we now record all our bid committee meetings audiovisually through AI technology, which was a recommendation in the reports. So we have really now moved forward. We also took a tough stance against officials. Currently, our HOD is going through his disciplinary, and 4 other senior officials were successfully prosecuted within the department and their services with us terminated. And then another big step that we took is we invited various MPOs that work in the field of corruption, like ALTA, like Corruption Watch, and other MPOs to a meeting. We played open cards. We put all our things on the table with them and said, this is what we're doing currently, but how can you advise us? What should we do differently? And currently working very closely with those organizations to strengthen our whistleblowing, but also strengthen our internal measures to prevent and curb corruption in the department. And we're really on the right track right now.
And what cost-cutting measures have you been able to implement?
I started in my office. Previously, 2 budget speeches back, it cost the department 300,000 rand to present the budget. We cut back. Last year, it was 300 rand. This year, we cut it back to 0 rand. We didn't spend any money on the budget because we do everything in-house, no glossy things, anything like that. The other thing we then did, department-wise, is we looked at the use of cell phones, and we realized there were officials that had 2 or 3 cell phones from the department that we're paying for. We had over 50 former officials that still had cell phones. They don't even work for the department anymore, and they still had cell phones from the department. And some officials were just misusing it. So we've totally changed the way we do cell phones. We now just give an amount to the officials. They can pick their own cell phones from the preferred list, but they can't go over the amount because we now stuck to amount. And we've already saved millions just doing that very simple thing of taking control of the devices we give. Also within the ministry office, in the 6 months before I took office of last year, it cost over 3 million rand to run this ministry and the office that I hold here. In the second 6 months, only 200,000 rand because we just said we can't just take 7 officials to travel with me all the time, travel all over the province using mini vehicles and all those type of things. So that's the other thing that we have done. Through digitalization as well, we'll be saving over 6 million rand in printing costs for the department. So there's a lot of measures, and it looks like small things, but they all do add up in the end of the day. And then another big thing is that we are really moving away from consultants. We actually do have the expertise within the department. So I was unsure, why do we keep using very expensive consultants if we are able to deliver those services ourselves with the engineers, architects, and all of that we have? Very recently, we opened a school called the Faith Mashlabe School that we didn't use any consultants, and that cost us saved us almost 8 million rand just on that one project alone.
So what progress has been made with the non-payment of contractors?
So I'm very glad you mentioned that, because it is one of the major problems that we face as a department. We owed contractors for 5 years, some of them. And this is very unfair. And as I always say to people, that, you know, a contractor and a subcontractor that's not paid is a child that's going hungry to bed that night. And I couldn't live with that. Our main challenge is that we're an implementing department. So the budget for infrastructure development doesn't come to us. It goes to various client departments, mostly education, health, and other departments. And they weren't paying us. So projects were happening. Our contractors were on site, but we weren't getting the money from those client departments. And when I took office, client department owed this department over 750 million rand, which means we just couldn't pay any of our contractors. We took a very tough stance with our client departments, said that we will stop all work with other departments if they do not pay the bills that they owe us. We've managed to recoup most of the money from our client departments, and we've released over 550 million rand of payments in the last 3 months to contractors. We are now on a 30-day schedule with our contractors. We've paid most of our back monies owed to contractors, and that's the right thing to do. It's also economically, it just makes sense, because that means we've pumped over 500 million rand into the economy of KwaZulu-Natal, which is a boost to the province. And this is money that we owe to people for work done. We further got an agreement with the treasury of the province that all money now for infrastructure development will be ring-fenced, so departments can't use it for anything else. They must pay their bills. And we've also informed other departments that we won't take on any new projects until their debt to us has been paid. And it was a bit of a tough stance, wasn't an easy road to take, but it was a necessary one. And as I said, now we're on track and there's no contractors that we owe over the 30-day period at this moment.
Meanwhile, how are you dealing with project disruptions and the construction mafia?
So yes, they're not my best friends. I don't think I'm on the construction mafia's Christmas card list. But we took a multi-pronged approach. First of all, we made it very clear we do not negotiate with criminals. So if you come with weapons to our sites, we will not talk to you. You will not get anything from us. Secondly, we did say to business forums who want to come to us under a banner of peace that we will engage with them. We've had various meetings, I can't even count how many, with business forums across the province, where they then denounce any violent acts, denounce disruptions, and are now willing to work with us. Thirdly, we've had meetings with SAPS and the NPA, and the SAPS has been taking a much more proactive stance regarding the construction mafia. Many arrests have been made in the last few months, and the NPA is now charging people. So while we have the carrot on one side, there is the stick on the other side that there is very tough action against people from the construction mafia. And then lastly, we realized there's a structural problem in that we left the talking with the communities to the contractors, and that's way too late, and it puts an unnecessary burden on the contractors. So we're in the process of creating a office within the department, a community liaison office. We will start talking to communities much, much earlier now when we're in the planning phase of a project. We will see what needs there are. So let's say a community doesn't have bricklayers. We will make sure that we train bricklayers within the community so that 30% that's supposed to go to local labor actually does go to the community. And that they themselves then take ownership of the project, and they keep the construction mafia guys out, who's just there for their own gain. We're also working very closely with a local government as well as with traditional leaders, which plays a very important role in our province. And so far it's worked. And in the last 6 months, we've had zero disruptions at any of our building sites.
What other milestones have you reached in turning around that department?
Well, also one of the things that we're very proud of is that in the beginning of this year, we had what we call the Build KZN Better Property Conference, which was the biggest property conference in South Africa. And we reached out to NGOs, NPOs, the private sector, and say we own over 10,000 properties. Many of them are underused, underutilized, or unused. And what should we be doing with these properties? Because we have a saying in this department, if it belongs to the public, it should serve the public. We've got various different proposals that we are now implementing. We've recently put 88 properties on the market, but we don't necessarily look at the highest bidder. We also look at the use. So people must come with proposals. If an NPO says we can use this property for a women's shelter or anything like that, if anybody else maybe offers us more money, we will go with the women's shelter because that's what serves the community where that property is. We also negotiated, for instance, with the Department of Agriculture, and that many of our open pieces of land will now become community food gardens, so that we make sure that all the properties we own are serving the people of KwaZulu-Natal. Further to that, we reached out to various of the data companies and cell phone companies, saying that we have a serious problem of connectivity in our province, as we are facing today in this interview. In that many rural parts of KwaZulu-Natal doesn't have connectivity. People can't phone a police station. They can't phone a local clinic. Just last week, we announced in Umkhonyokudu district, which is our most rural area that borders Mozambique and Swaziland, that we've released 8 of our own properties and negotiated for 12 properties from the national government. So in the next following few months, 20 new cell phone towers will go up in areas where there are currently zero connectivity, which means people in the rural areas of Umkhonyokudu can actually now connect to the rest of the country. School kids can now use computers to connect and learn about the internet. People can phone their hospitals, their clinics, and that's something we're very proud of as a department. So we've really changed how the department works, and making sure that this department actually serves the people of this province directly.
Thank you. That was Public Works and Infrastructure, MEC, for KZN, Martin Meyer speaking to BizNews about the turnaround in his department. Thank you, Martin. I'm Christine.
Thank you.